Galatians chapter 3, and we are going to begin reading at verse number 10. So Galatians 3 and verse 10, it says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, we just thank you once again for your word. We just pray you would open up our understanding of it today, Lord. We know that it has vital truths within it, Lord, to guide us, Lord, through which we come to you in salvation and through which we follow you, Lord, in our daily lives. We just pray your blessings upon us through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. And we see in verse 11 there the phrase, "the just shall live by faith." And this is a phrase that is repeated several times in Scripture, that it's first given in Habakkuk in the Old Testament, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, where it speaks, "The soul that is lifted up in him is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." We see it quoted not only here in Galatians from there, we see it also in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And we see it there, and we also see it in Hebrews chapter 10, where it speaks of that as well. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35, where it says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." And so, as we see this phrase repeated several times in Scriptures, we recognize with anything that God says that it's important, that we need to heed it. But I think we can recognize as well that if he says it more than once, that it's very important, that it's something that we really need to pay attention to. And through history, we can see this truth of the just shall live by faith, that it's an essential truth that kind of is, for whatever reason, is kind of forgotten or neglected. And when it's rediscovered, it brings great light and blessing to God's people. We recognize that it's an essential truth, but in many ways it's a simple truth. And that's perhaps why it is so easy for men and women to lose sight of it. And we recognize as people, sometimes we complicate things a lot more than we need to, that it speaks of, in epistles to the Corinthians, of how that Satan seeks to corrupt us from the simplicity that is in Christ, and we want to be wary of that. We realize it's an essential truth and a simple truth, but it's also a profound truth. It sums up not only the principles of our salvation, but also the principles of our Christian life. And so, no matter what stage you may find yourself at, whether you don't know the Lord as Savior, whether you're newly saved, you've been saved for years, that this phrase, "the just shall live by faith," it's an important phrase that we need to regain a renewed appreciation for this essential yet simple yet profound truth. And so let us examine this phrase more clearly, first specifically in terms of our salvation. That when it says the just shall live by faith, who are the just? That one who is just speaks of one who is righteous, those that do what is good and right. But when we look at it in terms of salvation, we see that that is the idea of us being just is something that is not the case. We find in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 20, it declares, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." We also see the declaration in Romans chapter 3 where it says, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." That "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all together gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." That we recognize that we are not just, but yet we say, well, how can we become just? It's something that we would want to have, but we don't have within us. What hope do we have if we are condemned and guilty sinners? If the prophet Ezekiel asks that question in Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 10, it says, "Therefore, thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live?" And so that's the question. How, if we're sinners, if we're not just, how are we going to live if we're guilty before God? And of course, man's answer is by keeping the law, trying to do right, trying to do what the law of God says, that then we'll become just. That if we do our best to keep the Ten Commandments, to treat our neighbor well, to love God, that's going to make us just. But we realize that's not how it works. It's not how it works in God's eyes anyways. And of course, His opinion is the one that truly counts. And we see declared in this passage in Galatians chapter 3 that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Galatians 3 and verse 10, we saw it says, "For as many as of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." And we see that James 2:10, it declares that if we keep the whole law, but yet we offended in one point, we are guilty of all. It doesn't matter how much we've kept, if we keep one thing, if we fail to keep one thing, that we are guilty before God. In Romans 3 verse 19 it says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." And so the law of God has never and can never make someone just, can never give us life. It only condemns, it only declares the sentence of death that is upon us. And thus, if a man is to be made just, if a man is to live, then it's not based on one's own merits, but on those of someone else. It's not upon works, but upon faith. And that is why there's a phrase, "A just shall live by faith." Faith in what? Not in what, but in whom? In Jesus Christ. In what He did on the cross. That we actually see Jesus Christ described in Acts chapter 7 verse 52 as the just one. That He is the only one that is truly just. That they condemned and killed the just, but yet we recognize that was part of God's plan. That He died to serve as our substitute, to take our place, and take our penalty so that we could be made just through faith in Him. And it's through faith in what He has done, in His death, in His blood, in His resurrection, that we're made just, that we're granted eternal life. That He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And we saw in that passage in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 where it says that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And it is of His grace that we see further down in Galatians chapter 3 that says, But the Scripture hath concluded, this is verse 22 of Galatians 3, But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And so it is all of His grace, it is none of our works, and we are saved by grace through faith, that we repent and believe and we receive of the Lord, that we learn of Christ the living Word through the written Word. It speaks in Romans that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to illuminate the truths of Christ unto us, as we respond in faith, not just giving a mental assent, believing in Jesus, but the sense of actually believing on Him, of staking our eternity upon what He claims, staking our destiny on Him alone. And when we do that, at that moment, we pass from being unjust to just, that we pass from the sense of death into the sense of life, that we are justified by faith, that His blood washes away our sin, that His righteousness is imparted to us, to our account. And so we see the glorious truth of this simple sentence, that the just shall live by faith. And we rejoice in that truth, and well, we should, that in terms of our salvation, we should never take it for granted. We should never cease each day to thank the Lord for saving us. But when we think of this truth that the just shall live by faith, as believers, we sometimes fail to realize that this essential, yet simple, yet profound truth applies not only to our salvation, but also to our daily life. That we think of it in this way, that as believers, that we are now the just, that it's not of our own merits, but it's based on His. It's not by our works, but by faith. But because of that, we have new life in Christ. We have eternal life. Eternal life for the believer doesn't start when we die. Eternal life for the believer starts when we trust in Christ as Savior, when we're born again. And because we have new life in Christ, we're to live in the light of that truth, that because our eternal destiny is forever settled, that we live differently because of that. That we don't have our lives just touched by Christ upon the moment of salvation, and then we'll be touched by it when we pass by this life, when we see Him, and then we kind of just go back to living the way we did in between that. But know that things have completely changed, that old things are passed away, all things have become new. That now we live differently than just would live by faith. And we see in Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That we live a life now by faith. That Colossians 2 verse 6, it says, as ye have received Christ Jesus our Lord, so walk ye in Him. And we have received Christ by faith, and so therefore we are to walk by faith. It's a blessedness with it is that the basic principles of our salvation are also the basic principles of our Christian walk that are to govern our new life in Christ. That being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, as it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. And verse 2 of that same chapter says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That we, as believers, that we're now to walk by faith and not by sight, that we're raised to walk in newness of life, and we do that walking by faith, that not based on what we see, not based on what we understand necessarily, but what we see from the Scriptures, what we see from the Lord, that we walk by faith and not by sight in all areas of our lives, that faith essentially becomes the guiding principle of our lives, what we're known for, that we're men and women of faith, that it essentially is the code by which we govern our lives, to the point that every decision, every step that we take is a step of faith, and that whatsoever is not of faith becomes sin unto us. that we want to make sure that we're doing it as led of the Lord and because we know that it is what He would have us to do. So what is the basis of our faith? As it is with our salvation, so it is with the Christian life. That our basis is the Word of God, the living Word, Jesus Christ, and the written Word, which declares unto us the living Word. That faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's why the Lord declares that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That we have a dependency upon God's Word, because that is our guide. That is what we govern ourselves by, its principles. We allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us through it, that our paths can be led by Him. And as we delight ourselves in God's Word, as we meditate therein day and night, God reveals things unto us by His Spirit. God's Word is truth, and through the Spirit He reveals truth to us about God, about our circumstances, about ourselves, about the devil's snares, about God's purpose and will for our life, that He wants to make things clear to us, that His Word is truth and we can trust it. Sometimes what happens when we try to figure something out, we try to make a decision, we try to see which way to turn, that it can seem so dark that we don't know what's going to happen. There's always so much in this day and age of predictions, whether it's the weather or the economic system, when to invest and what to invest in and what your return's going to be and other things. But there's so much that we don't know, so much that we can't predict, that all the way that we look seems dark. But yet we read of how the Word of the Lord can be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, that we can try to rely upon our own wisdom and understanding, but so often it falls short, that we think, well, this seems like the right way, but then we find that we made a mistake. But yet if we learn to look to the Lord for His guidance, that we can find that. But sometimes we can think something's a sure thing, and we get into it, and then it seems the devil just kind of pulls the rug out from under us, and we don't know what to do. But when we can be confident that the Lord's leading us, that we're walking by faith, then even when bad things happen, we're not going to panic, we're not going to be afraid, because we can know, well, He's brought me into this, He's going to be with me through it, and I don't need to be afraid. It says in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That we look to Him, that we do not rely upon our own understanding, but we rely upon His. That we walk by faith in what He has said. That with each step that we take in our lives, that we're guided by Scripture, by its precepts, by its principles. That we meditate upon it, we understand it, we recognize it to be the truth of God. And because it is the truth of God, we act upon it, stepping forward in faith, trusting God will bless us simply for our faith and obedience unto the Word. That we see of His promises and other things, that we know that if we put our trust in Him, we will not be ashamed. And so we want to do that. We want to trust Him. We want to be guided by what the Scriptures say in our life. Whether it's specific principles that we study, or even as we're seeking God's will, that we pray and the Lord speaks to us. He kind of gives us a verse that kind of helps us and kind of cements things in our mind, that he says, this is what I want you to do. This is the path I want you to take. And we find that often the Lord is going to guide us in paths that from the world's perspective would not seem to make any sense. That from the world's perspective that they would think we're making a foolish decision. We think of Abraham, who left all that he had known of the Ur of the Chaldees to go into a land that he'd never seen, just because God told him. That for many they would think that he was crazy to do that, but he did it anyways, and we see that he was a man of faith, and God blessed him for that. We think of Moses, of how he gave up the treasures of Egypt. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. That just doesn't make a lot of sense. But we know that it was by faith, and we know the Lord blessed him in the end. He would have missed out if he had gone the way the world would have said. And we think even of people throughout history They might have a comfortable life, they might have a good paying job, but then the Lord speaks to them and they're called to go across the world, across the sea, to toil someplace in obscurity, even suffer great things, just trying to reach people for Christ. But they do it by faith. And from the world it may seem that they're throwing their lives away, but the fact is that the Bible speaks of how that if we save our lives, that we lose it, but if we lose our life for our sake in the gospel, that we actually save it, that we keep it unto life eternal. We recognize, of course, that the way of the world so often is the broad way that leads to destruction, that leads to disappointment and despair. But as we walk by faith, that we can know that we'll be going the right way, that when we have faith, that we know that God is leading us, we have that certainty of it, the fear is gone, because we know that whatever God leads us through, He'll bring us through it, that we'll never be ashamed for putting our trust in Him, that He promises even if we're in the valley of the shadow of death, He's going to be with us, that we do not need to fear, that our faith, that fear and faith cannot be in the same place, just as light expels darkness, so faith expels fear. As we learn to trust the Lord, we learn to see things as they are from His Word, that it enables us to walk by faith. That a faith life is not an easy life in some ways, because it's easier to follow the crowd, it's easier to walk by sight. But God wants us to believe on Him and all that He can do. And He doesn't, you think of it where it says that the just shall live by faith. He doesn't say the just shall exist by faith. He doesn't want us just to kind of get by and just kind of make it through, but it's a thought. He wants us to truly live by faith, that He wants us to have an abundant life that comes only as we trust Him fully and follow Him completely. That God leads us ever onward, ever upward, beyond what we would even expect or even want to go. And He's saying, well, continue with Me. I want to show you something wonderful, something beyond what you've ever expected. I want to take you where you've never been before. I want you to experience victory in your life. I want you to experience My glory and blessings. And so often we tend to hold back. We tend to miss out. We think, well, if I step forward, I'm placing myself at risk. I'm putting a lot of things on the line. But the thing is, if the Lord calls us, and we can be certain of that, that we can know that it's going to be much better for us to step forward than it is to hold back. That we might miss out on great things if we allow our fears to hold us back. That if instead we continually learn to turn our anxieties over to the Lord, if we believe that He is able, and then our faith brings us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. That we can pray in faith, and that we can receive. That we can walk by faith, by the principles of His Word, by His Holy Spirit guiding us, that we can find His presence, we can find His power, we can find His blessing in our lives. That we would do this, that we would live by faith. And so we see that from the Scriptures, that the Bible declares that unto us, that the just shall live by faith. That it is a statement that is true in every sense of the word. First of all, when we think of our salvation, that we are made just who were unjust, that we who had the sense of death were given eternal life by faith. That, of course, it's not anything that we do, it's faith in what He did, that we trust Him in what it is by His grace through faith, that we have access to that grace by faith, and that it opens up the floodgates to us in that sense, that we have just shall live by faith. But then secondly, the thought that as Christians, that we who are justified by faith are now to live a life that's governed by faith. That it becomes our code, our creed, that we want to do what the Lord has for us to do, that we want to find out His path and we want to follow it in whatever way it is, that We don't just kind of want to go our own way and kind of muddle through and try to figure out things the best, but instead that we know, no, this is where the Lord wants me to do. I want to follow Him, and He's going to take care of the details, and it's going to be worth it in the end. And thirdly, that thought that by faith that we can learn to truly live and truly experience God's blessings, that there is much that He wants to share with us, much that He wants to impart to us. And as we learn to live by faith, we can truly find that life, and that life that is more abundant that He came to give unto us. And so may the Lord help each of us to strengthen our faith. We think of the one fellow that came to Jesus, and Jesus said, all things are possible unto those that believe. And he said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. That's sometimes what we know, that God can do it, but there's parts within us that say, well, no, I don't know if He can. But we ask the Lord to help our unbelief, and that we may have faith in Him, that we think of all the different ones, the heroes of the faith, of how so many things were done, that they, we see in Hebrews chapter 11 there, through faith that they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. That we don't know exactly what the Lord has in store for us, but we recognize that if we walk with Him by faith, just as with Abraham, that he didn't know where he was going, but he went with God, and he was glad that he did, that the Lord took care of him, that there was times, of course, that he faltered. He tried to fix things himself, and that usually made kind of a mess. But in the end, that we see that the Lord blessed his life and fulfilled his promises just as he said that they would. And so may the Lord help us in that we would have faith, that we would live by faith, and that we would be enabled by God to be men and women of faith and to share our faith with those around us. Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this truth, and we just pray you would help us that we would truly live by faith. We thank you for your great salvation that has come to us through your Son, Lord, and through believing upon Him. And we just pray you would help us to live in the light of that, Lord, and walk in newness of life as we walk with you by faith. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn now in our hymnals to just one more hymn, number 262. And we'll sing Trusting Jesus, hymn number 262, as we stand.